Okay, this is our eighth class on this syllabus, and it is the last class. So we're going to cover whatever we cover, and what we don't finish will have to be left for another opportunity. We are in Peirik Yud Beis of Hilchos Melachim u'Melchames u'Melech HaMashiach, the last chapter of Rambam. And as I explained to you last week, this Peirik is not talking about Mashiach, it's talking about Yemos HaMashiach, the times of Mashiach. And of course there is an incredible overlap between Mashiach and Yemos HaMashiach, but they are two different ideas and therefore are in two different Prakim. Mashiach is a person, Yemos HaMashiach is an era. Or to say it slightly differently, Mashiach is about a redeemer, and Yemos HaMashiach is about redemption, about Geula. Now, in as much as we talk about Yemos HaMashiach, the Messianic times, as opposed to or in addition to the personality of Mashiach, a number of issues have been clarified. First of all, it is impossible to say that after Mashiach comes, miracles don't happen. Even though Mashiach does not need to perform miracles, and to be sure, the Rambam said even more, saying that Mashiach need to perform miracles would border on apokorsis, because you are defining Mashiach in a way which is beyond the parameters of the halacha of Melech. So as far as Melech HaMashiach is concerned, you're not allowed to say that he must perform miracles. On the other hand, as far as Yemos HaMashiach is concerned, you must say miracles will happen, because included in Yemos HaMashiach, at least in the opinion of the Rambam, is Tchias HaMesim, which is the greatest miracle of all. So, even though the Rambam writes that all of the allusions to the supernatural, regards the Avim Keves, the Aryeh Kabocha Yechal Teva, and so forth, he explains them as Hakel Moshel and Lita, they're all allegory, they're all metaphor. In reality, in the second stage of Yemos HaMashiach, they have to be literal, because in the end, in the final analysis, Mashiach has to be connected. The times of Mashiach have to be connected to miracles. The question is only whether it's Be'ita or Be'achishena, meaning to say, if as soon as Mashiach comes, miracles begin, or only later on do the miracles unfold and happen. That's one idea that we talked about regarding Yemos HaMashiach. Another idea, we made reference to a series of things that happen at the onset of the coming of Mashiach. And as we discussed last week, even though it is the Rambam's opinion that to sit and calculate and interpret the Agodes and so forth and so on is a foolish, it's a waste of time, if you will, nevertheless, certain aspects of this process are halachic, meaning to say they must happen, and therefore are significant and precise. And the Rambam spells them out for us. And basically, there are three events. The first event has to do with Yichus, with genealogical identification. Everybody has to establish himself as a Jew using Eidus, using witness. The second is Besura Fagiyula, the Navi Eliyahu, whether he's Eliyahu or Navi Bepashtis, or a Navi whose name is Eliyahu. In the Sichus of the Rebbe, it seems like it's Eliyahu or Navi Bepashtis, but in the Rambam's writing, it seems that he's a Navi whose name is Eliyahu, or he's alluded to as Eliyahu, and Bimavasa the Yula announced the Yula Mitzvah Vashlem. And the third is Goygul Magog. Regarding this, the Rebbe said to us the follows. All of these things have to happen. There's going to be a Navi who's going to come along, and using natural mechanisms, that means witnesses and documents, is going to determine who is a kosher Jew and who is not a kosher Jew, to bring close those who have been lost and to distance those who have been non-halachically embraced and so forth and so on. However, according to the Rambam, these things, although they happen, are not a part of Mashiach's role, of Eliyahu HaNavi's role as a step in the Geula, but it happens earlier. This is the Rambam's opinion. According to the Rambam, this Navi who comes before Mashiach comes only l'aseith shalom ba'elam, to make peace in the world. Now I want to make a clarification, or a correction actually. Last week I told you that Lasat Shalom Ba'ilam means to do the positive part of Yiches as opposed to the negative part of Yiches. That means Lekarves Amruchokim and not Lerachikis Amukurovim. But I looked at the Sikh again and I'm wrong. Lasat Shalom Ba'ilam means exactly that, to bring peace to the world. So, although this Navi, who comes at the outset of the Messianic era, will be very involved in Yiches, pushing away those who have been unlawfully embraced and embracing those who have been lost, those aspects of his role are not part of the Besudas HaGiyula. They are part of his role as the Navi who ushers in the times of Mashiach. They're a separate idea. According to the Rambam, Lasei Shalom Ba'elon, to make peace in the world, is a part of this Navi's role as a preparation for the Giyula. And then V'yesh Minei Chachamim, the Rambam brings a second opinion, holds that although this Navi is going to do all of those things, he's going to establish Yichas using Eidos, he's going to bring Shalom to the world, and he's also going to be mevaser, he's going to announce that Mashiach is coming, the only aspect of his function as a Navi that will be connected to Besudas HaGiyula, they'll be connected to Mashiach directly, is Besudas HaGiyula. In short, here's a man who's going to do a lot of things, and everybody agrees that he's going to do all of them. The question is only which of these things he's doing as a step in Mashiach's coming itself, and which of these things he's doing as a preliminary, as a before, as a preparation for the coming of Mashiach. And the Rambam brings in the Yad two opinions, meaning to say the facts are constant, the meaning and the significance of these facts is varied. And of course, the Rebbe in the Sikha does not at all explain the logic or the wisdom behind the different ways of understanding this Navi's role. So we left last week's class with several questions, and this was one of them. What difference does it make if I say that a Navi comes to B'miyachas B'nei Yisrael as part of Geula, or a Navi comes to B'miyachas B'nei Yisrael before Geula, and so forth and so on? So this is more or less what we did last week. We described, we entered into the world of the times of Mashiach, whether Mashiach's initial coming is connected to miracles, or miracles begin to happen later, depends on us, depends on our witness of the coming of Mashiach. And there's going to be a Navi who sets up the coming of Mashiach by being Miyachas B'nei Yisrael, being Mevasa L'Giyula, and then there's Geigul Mogen. Now, we're ready for section 12. Section 12 is one quote. Section 12 is only one reading, because as far as I know, there is no Sikha from the Rebbe on this halacha. So I'm just giving you the Rambam as the Rambam is written, and we're going to learn it. If there would be a Sikha, I would of course develop this Rambam based on the Sikha. There is no Sikha, so we're just going to read it directly. Now let me repeat again a point that I've said repeatedly. There is what amounts to a complexity in Rambam, and it's so complex that it borders on the contradictory. And the complexity is that on the one hand, Mashiach does not need to be a Navi. In fact, the prototype for Mashiach that Rambam brings is Ben Kuziva HaMelech Bar Koichva, and Ben Bar Koichva was very far from being a Navi. He wasn't even a tzaddik. He was a religious man. He was a very frum yid, but he was a tough warrior who was far from perfect, that the Rambam himself says was killed because of sin. So Ben Bar Koichva was no tzaddik. He was an El Charid, he was a frum Charid, he was Meis Nefesh for Yidden and for Yiddishkeit, but he wasn't a holy man, he certainly was not a Rebbe, or anything of that sort. And the Rambam uses him as a prototype to make the point that to be Mashiach, you just need the qualifications of Bar Koichva, no less, no more, pardon me, including the idea of Nevuah. At the same time, there are things about Mashiach that must involve Nevuah. For example, you may recall, we had this discussion on Torah Chadash of Iti Teitzei, that Mashiach teaches new Torah, and the Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva that Mashiach's ability to teach a new Torah is based on his being a Navi almost as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, and a Chacham greater than Shlomo HaMelech. So what is it? Is Mashiach not a Navi, or is Mashiach, yes, a Navi? Or to say it in plain English, had Bar Koichva been Mashiach, what would have happened when it came to the idea of him teaching Torah Chadash? And of course the simple answer to the question is, I don't know. The suggested answer, the guess is that Bar Koichva would have to grow. Melech HaMashiach would have had to somehow evolved or developed himself to the point where he was a big Chacham and a big Navi and so on. We have a similar case here. We're talking about the Maaseh Mashiach. And of course, based on the few chronological details, in other words, sequential details, that the Rambam brings, we know that the coming of Mashiach has to do with a Navi who is Miyachas B'nei Yisroel. We know that the coming of Mashiach has to do with a Navi who is Mevasa de Yula. We know that the coming of Mashiach begins with the event of Geg U'Magig. And we know, of course, that after Mashiach comes, all kinds of wonderful things happen, including eventually miracles, and ultimately the miracle of Tchias HaMeisa. So now we read what is Halacha Gimel, the third to the last paragraph in the entire Sefer HaRambam, in Hilchas Melachim U'Melchames U'Melach HaMashiach. B'mei Melach HaMashiach, during the era of King Mashiach, Kishetesyashev Malchusei, that his Mamlachte, that his kingdom will settle, meaning to say, peace will have been established, so he's finished with his wars, he's finished with his conflicts, both inside and outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'yiskatzu elav kol Yisrael, and all of Klal Yisrael will be gathered around him. Now, just to remind you of a point that we've made earlier, it is the Rambam's opinion that Kibbutz Golias happens after Binyan Beis HaMikdash. This is what he holds. The building of the Beis HaMikdash does not require all the Jewish people living in the Holy Land. Rather, after Mashiach comes and he builds the Beis HaMikdash, then you have the ingathering of the exile. So when it says in this reading, V'yiskatzu elav kol Yisrael, so clearly what the Rambam is trying to suggest is that Mashiach comes, the wars are won, the environment is settled, and all the Jewish people have returned to Eretz Yisrael, what is called in halachic terms, Kol Yoshveha Aleha, all the Jewish people in the world live in Eretz Yisrael, and as I pointed out to you in earlier classes, when you have Kol Yoshveha Aleha, only then are you able to fulfill many mitzvahs, such as Hashmatas Ksafim Deiraisa, and the Dalachas of Steyachuza, and Eved Ivri, and Ger Teishav, and many other things which are only applicable when you call Yeshveha Aleha. So, after Mashiach comes, and you have, amongst other things, Kibbutz Golias, all the Jewish people have been ingathered from all over the world, and there's Kol Yeshveha Aleha, now begins another process, which is Yishyachsu Kulam Alpiv. All the Jewish people are going to have to establish the Yichas Alpiv, according to the mouth of Mashiach, Beruach HaKodesh Etanuach Halav, with the divine spirit that will rest upon him. Now, you should understand that Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah are the same thing. This is a discussion that I'd love to have on another occasion. But according to the Rambam, there's 11 levels of Nevuah. It's in Nevuchim Chelek Sheni, Perek Memhei. And they're divided into three groups. There's two categories of Nevuah, which are called Ruach HaKodesh. There's five categories of Nevuah, which is called Chalim, in a dream. And there's four categories of Nevuah called Mare, in a vision. Two and five and four is 11. So Ruach HaKodesh is really an earlier, lower state of Nevuah. So when we try to draw a distinction between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, at least to some extent, it's a Pashan Amarasis. It's an ignorant understanding. It's a mistake. Ruach HaKodesh is a basic level of Nevuah, and as we know, the Ksuvim in general, and particularly the Svarim of David, David HaMalach and Shlomo HaMalach were not considered Nevi'im. They were considered by Ruach HaKodesh. Tilim was written by Ruach HaKodesh. Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, Kehelos was written by Ruach HaKodesh. And of course, the Gemara said, "Kol Svarim Kodesh Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kadoshim." It's possible, as it says in the Maamar Chasidus, that Ruach HaKodesh should, in some interesting way, reach even higher than Nevuah. So we're describing Mashiach as a Navi. Now the problem with this is, as I said in my introduction, the Mashiach is not only not required to be a Navi, you're not even allowed to say that it's a requirement, because then you're violating the basic idea that there's no new Torah. Mashiach is only a Melech, like, for example, Bar Kochva, and Nevuah is not included in the mandate. So the only way of explaining this is that somehow Mashiach grows post facto, after the fact. Again, it's not also for Mashiach to be a Navi. It's also to say that it's a chiyuv. So the Rambam says, however it works out, in other words, let's say for the sake of argument, Bar Koch would have been Mashiach, somehow something would have happened after Yisyashev Malchusei and Yiskapsu Kol Yisro, that Mashiach would have been raised up to a level, but Korchel would have been raised to a level to Nevuah, and he would have done an act of Yichus. But this act of Yichus is very different than the act of Yichus we described last week, because this act of Yichus is done through prophecy. So the point is this: we know the story of Shivas Tzion. We know the story of the Binyan of the Second Beis HaMikdash. And of course, one of the principal players in that story was Ezra Sefer. And one of the things that Ezra Sefer was very, very concerned with was Yichus, was genealogical purity, if you will. Because many Jews married Moshem Nochries, they married non-Jewish wives, there was a terrible amount of assimilation during Golos Bavel, and so on. So when Ezra Sefer built the second Beis HaMikdash, one of the things he did was to clear up any doubts about Yichus, and everybody had to bring a Shtar Yuchsin, everybody had to bring a document that showed his genealogical past, and to be determined whether he's a Meyuchas or he's not a Meyuchas. And the way the Mishnah explains it, and the Gemara explains it, he left the pure Jews, the best Jews in Bavel, and took with himself the Isa, that means the mixed up Jews, the entangled Jews within the Eretz Yisrael, and continued to disentangle the entanglements of Yichud. The Gemara's lashon is Kol Ha'aratzes Isa le'Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael Isa le'Bavel. All lands were an entanglement of good and bad Yichus relative to Eretz Yisrael, where the Yichus was clear, and Eretz Yisrael was Isa le'Bavel. The Yichus and Eretz Yisrael was considered entangled compared to Bavel. So there was an event of determining who is a legitimate Jew, who is legitimately from Shevet Reuben, and from Shevet Levi, and from Shevet Yehuda, and so on. And of course, who was a Kohen, who was a Levi, who was a Yisrael, who was a Mamzer, and who was a Nosin, and who was all the rest, a Ger, and so on. But it's done through witnesses. In other words, it's a halachic process that's based on Teira Lev HaShemayim. It's a practical down-to-earth process. So that Amam told us last week that when Mashiach comes, a similar process occurs. It is only that the Rambam holds that this process of determining Yichus by this Navi that I mentioned to you last week is not directly a piece of the Geula and Yemes HaMashiach onset, but it happens in a preliminary way. Now we're describing something very different, and I'll explain to you how this works. The way Halacha is established is Mishpacha Shenitma'a Nitma'a. That means any family that's been assimilated into the mainstream of Jewish people is considered Jewish. And the opposite is also true. A Jewish family that's been lost to the Jewish people absolutely is considered not Jewish. The cutoff line would be, is there any way to prove their Jewishness and their genealogical loyalty, or the opposite of that? In other words, for a generation or two or three or four, you can go back into your past and trace your roots. And you can get back to a point where you can say, listen, my Zaydeh was this and this person, he has a chazaka of being a kosher yid, I'm a kosher yid. If a person is lost to the Jewish people for too many generations, to give you an example, the Falashas, the Jews that came to Ethiopia, it's impossible to trace their yichus, and therefore they're separate from the Jewish people. And vice versa, if there is a goy, for example, who somehow manages to sneak into the Jewish community and never goes through Yehudas, never, or even a goyah, and 10 generations pass, and nobody was ever Magaya, they are Jewish, they're halachically Jewish. They're so Jewish halachically that if Mashiach were to come, and as a Navi were to say, Hezechaim is a goyim, he would never do that. Because this is the way it works. Mishpacha shenitma'a nitma, with an ayin, not with an aleph. A nation that's been assimilated becomes a kosher mishpacha. You'll see it in our text momentarily. So before Mashiach comes, when this Navi, whose name is Aliyah, determines Yichus, he can only go back two or three or four generations, or maybe five generations, to the extent that there are shtar yuchsin available, that there are ways of halachically proving one's status as a Jew and as a meyuchas, and so on. And then that's it. If there are Jewish people from an earlier era who are either illegitimately assimilated within the Jewish people, or are, God forbid, illegitimately assimilated out of the Jewish people, that remains the same because Edim cannot go back that far. Now we're learning a very different idea. Mashiach comes, everything is settled, and now we use nevuah to determine yichas. And the moment you're using nevuah to determine yichas, you can know everything. You can go to a Jew and say, listen, you've been Jewish 25 generations, goy. Or you can go to a goy who's been Jewish 25 generations and say, yid. Because once you're using nevuah, there are different rules. There's no limit to how far in the past you can go, because you don't have to have witnesses, you don't have to have legal documents, and so on. So the Rambam describes a second process of hisyachsus, of a genealogical identification, using nevuah. But you'll see soon that even nevuah is going to have a limit in this case. So forgive me, I want to read from the beginning of the halacha again. V'imei ha-melech ha-mashiach, in the times of the coming of Mashiach, kishetisyashev malchusei, when his kingdom will settle. Or kishetisyashev mimamochus, he's going to be settled from dealing with political challenges from around. V'yiskab tzuei lov, kol yisov, will be a gathering of all the Jewish people. Yisyachsu kulam al-piv, v'ruach ha-kedish ha-tanuach ha-lov, they will all be identified and their yichis based on the nevuah addressed upon him. But how does he go about it? Number one, b'nei Levi mitar tchila. He starts from the top. He goes through the Jewish people and identifies the kohenim and the levim first, and says, "You are a kosher kohen. You are a kosher Levi." And that means, of course, two things: that you are a patrilineal descendant of kohenim and levim, and that there is no mamzeris, and there is no halalos, and there is no goyim, and so on. In other words, your father could be a kohen, if God forbid the mother is a non-Jew, or the mother is a halala, or the mother is a geid, and the children are not kosher to kohenim. So he identifies kohenim and levim. By identifying kohenim and levim, he is to some extent not only announcing who their fathers are all the way back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, but to a great extent also he's announcing who their mothers are, namely that their mothers were kosher enough to have married kohenim, so that they're not considered psul. V'deicha as she'einan miyuchasim liYisrael. After v'eimezem miyuchas kohen v'zem miyuchas levi. This is a legitimate kohen. This is a legitimate lady. Now, this is not a class on halachas of kohen and leviyah, but you understand yourself that the halacha today is any man who comes into a shul and says I'm a kohen, they're going to let him do, right? But if a person shows up in a shul and says, I'm a kohen, give me the five coins of pidyon haben, people are going to become a little bit more hesitant. And they're going to say, well, if you're a kohen, prove that you're a kohen. Because when a person has a mitzvah pidyon haben, the last thing he wants to do is give it to an imposter and not mekayim this mitzvah. When Mashiach comes, you have another series of levels of holiness of kohuna, beginning, of course, with the Matnis Kuhuna, which includes Reshis HaGez and Zroel HaChayayim and Keva and other things like that, which are considered Chulim. And then above that you have Truman, Trumas Maisev, and above that of course you have Kachim, Kachim Kalim, Kachim Kodeshim. And there are different halachas of genealogical establishment of a Kohen necessary for these various different steps. In other words, if we know that a Kohen is a kohen on a certain level, we let him eat, for example, truma de rabbanon, not truma de reis, or truma de reis, not karbonis, kachim kalim, not, and so on. And the highest level, of course, would be allowed to actually do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So in historic times, Jewish people who were kohenim had to prove their kuhuna to be able to do chen, to be able to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. And of course, any kohen who has a tradition from his ancestors, which is unbroken, that they served the avodah in the Mizbeach, is accepted without any doubt, without any question. But of course, Mashiach is coming after 2,000 years of Golos. When the Rambam wrote his sefer, it was 1,000 years of Golos, which is also a long time. And I don't know how many Kohenim had proof that their Zaydis served in the Beis HaMikdash in an unbroken chain, where their Kohenim were all kosher and their mothers were all kosher. So Nevuah is employed, and Nevuah is used to establish this is a kosher to Kohen, and this is a kosher to Levi. And of course, like I said, it establishes your patrilineal line, and to a great extent it also establishes the kashrus of the matrilineal line. Then it says, "U'b'deicha et she'enem yuchas nisol." Anybody who's not miyuchas as a kohen or a levi is pushed down. So the key to understanding this is, you don't start from the bottom and identify the psulim, you start from the top and identify the ksheir. And then the Rambam continues. Beruach HaKedesh Miyachasin HaMuchzokin U'medin HaMiyuchas. You use, again, Nevuah to establish the Yichas of those who are either established to be chedim or established to be psulim or medina miyuchas, and you tell each person who is a miyuchas. And of course, once you establish the yichas of the kohenim and levim doing using nevuah, then you are miyachas yisraelim as well. Ve'einoy miyachas yisrael elu l'shifteim. You do not establish the yichas of the yidden only based on their 12 shvatim. So you start with Kayanim, then Levim, and then you go on to say, you're from Reuven, you're from Shimon, you're from Levi, you're from Yehuda, you're from Yisachar, and so on. And you divide the Kasha the Yidden based on their Shvatim. This is a long discussion, or a semi-long discussion, but it's halachically very important to know what Shevet, to have all 12 Shvatim. You have to have all 12 Shvatim when Mashiach comes, you have to have Rev Minyan and Rev Binyan, and therefore you have to have Miyuchas, you have to be able to know who is a Reuvenite, who is a Shimonite, and so on until Binyamin. When the Pesukim say, the Rambam doesn't bring this, that there's going to be a different kind of division of Eretz Yisrael into 13 parts rather than into 12 parts, but there's certainly going to be an idea that every Shevet has a piece of Eretz Yisrael, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and therefore Yichas becomes very important. Because understand that owning a piece of Eretz Yisrael is not only dinim of finance, of business, it's dinim of issa, it's kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a lot of avodas Hashem associated with the land and who lives there, who owns it, and who works it. So first you meyachas kainim and levim, and then you meyachas yisraelim based on their shvatim shayim that they would say, shazemi shevet pleni, vizemi shevet pleni. This one is from this tribe, this from this tribe. So just try to visualize it. Say Mashiach comes, there's 20 million Jews, just for the sake of argument. And the initial processes of Yichas through Edis, and Besudas HaGiyula, and Yegu Magig, and the conquering of Yisrael, and the re-establishment of all the Jewish people on the land have taken place. And now Mashiach uses Nehuah to do a Yichas. So he starts from the best, and he goes down. He establishes who the Kohenim are, who the Levim are, and who the other 12 Shvatim are. Reuben, Shimon, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zvul, Don, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Menashe, Ephraim, and Binyamin. And of course, after you do that, there's a bunch left over. Who are they? They're either Gerim, or Mamzerim, or Goyim, or Chalolim, all kinds of other imaginable psulim. There's all kinds of complications in Yichas that are forever, right? When a person has a problem with Yichas, some of them go away after a generation, or two, or three. Some of them are forever. So there may be people who have lived amongst Jews, say, for 1,000 years, and they're red-blooded goyim, never went through gear. Or mamzerim, and mamzeris is forever. Or chalolos, and chalolos is forever. What happens to them? So the Rambam concludes and he says, Ava, however, einei eimer, he will never say, al shehem becheskas kashas, anybody who has the chazaka of being kosher. In other words, it's assumed that he's kosher because he's been living amongst Jews for generations without anybody questioning his identity. This, the Navi will not expose. Although Nevuah can know things that somebody else cannot know, the Rambam says the Nevuah will be limited to the positive identification of Yichus and not to the negative identification of Yichus. Even Nevuah is only going to be used to establish the Yichus of the Kohen and the Levim and the Yudbeis Shvatim, and the rest of them, any Yid who is presumed kosher, they're not going to say, Zeh Mamzer, Zeh Ever, this is a Mamzer, this is a Goy. Because Shahadin, who the Torah says, any family that was assimilated in the Jewish people is established as a Jew forever, even Nevuah will not overturn them. So Mashiach is going to come, and there's going to be a whole segment of the Jewish population that are non-Miyuchasim, not Kohenim, not Levim, not from Reuben, not from Shimon, not from Yehuda, not from Yisachar, not from Yosef, not from Binyamin, that are going to be considered not only Jewish, but kosher Jews, and they have no Yichas. And which is not going to be questioned. In other words, it's not going to be, well, I don't like those guys because they're in doubt. They're not in doubt because the halacha says once they're assimilated, it's forever. Okay, now, section 13. Section 13 is in Hilchas Mashiach, Perik Beis Halacha Dalet, chapter 12, paragraph 4. And of course, 14 is paragraph 5, which I'm afraid to say, I don't know if we're going to get to all together. If I had to describe Perik Beis Halacha Dalet in Hilchas Melachim Melchames U'Melech HaMashiach, I would say that it explains the reason for Mashiach. Why do we need Mashiach? Why is Mashiach so important? Or to say it from a perspective of Emunah, we have Yud Gimel Ikri Emunah, 13 principles of faith. One of those 13 principles of faith is the belief in Mashiach. What makes Mashiach that important? So, in the beginning of this syllabus, we talked at length about the idea of Shleimus HaTerev HaMitzvah, that Mashiach brings in a circumstance we're able to keep Tayag Mitzvah to Shleimus. Now, we're going to address another point. And the additional point is that Shleimus HaTerev HaMitzvah should happen to Shleimus HaAm, that every Jew should have an opportunity to have Shleimus HaTerev HaMitzvah. In other words, Mashiach comes. Mashiach brings about a Shleimus of Torah. Mashiach brings about a Shleimus of Eretz Yisrael. But Mashiach also brings about a Shleimus of Yidden. So the ideas of Yichas we learned about are a part of it. But an additional part of it is that every single Jew has an opportunity to do Yiddishkeit B'tachas HaShleimus, and I might as well say it now. This is how we understand the Rambam's idea of Tchias HaMeis. I never saw this explicitly in a Sikha, but I believe this is the Pshat. Why is Tchias HaMeis so important? Because just like every Jew alive after Mashiach comes wants to be able to do all Taryag Mitzvahs, all Jews who once lived want an opportunity to live again and do Mitzvahs B'Shleimus, which they may not have been able to do during the time and place and circumstances under which they lived. And the code to section 13 is the following quote. It's going to be repeated again and again in these readings. Mashiach is an opportunity to be a perfect Yid today, in order to merit the coming of Mashiach Tzadkenu. In other words, we're describing Mashiach with two basic criteria. Criteria number one, Mashiach is a part of a Yom La'Seisam, not part of the Mochal Gavos Cholam. Mashiach is part of work, Torah Mitzvahs, Yiddishkeit, not part of Schar, but of course it's a better world, so we're able to do better Mitzvahs better. Number two, Mashiach is seen, at least in theory, as an era where Yidden are not yet serving Hashem Lishma. That means they're not yet doing Torah Mitzvahs just for the sake of Torah Mitzvahs, they're doing Torah Mitzvahs for our Schar. And what is that Schar? Kidei sheyizku l'chayeh Elam Haba, in order for them to merit the life of Elam Haba. So this is how the Rambam describes Mashiach. Now, if this makes you nervous, or you think that it says in Sichas something differently, that's fine. We're not learning Chassidus, we're not learning Sichas, we're learning Rambam. And the Sichas of the Rebbe on Rambam. And this is how we understand. Mashiach is an opportunity. Until Mashiach comes, we try our best to do Torah Mitzvahs under the circumstances that we have. If our circumstances are better, we serve Hashem better. If our circumstances are more challenged, it becomes very difficult for us to serve Hashem, and so on. Mashiach provides an ideal circumstance, begashmis, uberuchnis, to be mekayim teyag mitzvahs betachas hashleimus, kidei sheyizku, in order that we merit, l'chai ha'elam haba. So let's read. And this is the Rambam's own words. But these words of the Rambam are not in Hilchis Mashiach, they're in Hilchis Tshuva Perek Tes, I think it's Halacha Beis. Okay? All five of these readings, by the way, are Rambams. There's no Sichas on this, in this particular section either. There are Sichas from the Rebbe on this section, but I didn't include them in the syllabus. So let's go, so let's read. Me'achal Shenoida. Whereas, since that we know Shematz Choron Shal Mitzvahs, that the reward for mitzvahs, Va'atoyva Shenizkala, the good which we will ultimately merit, which we call in our culture Schar, or Amanas Mekabel Pras. Im Shamanu Derech Hashem, Hakosu B'Teira, if we guard the path, the way of God Almighty described in the Teira, He, Chaye Ha'el above the life of the world to come. Now, of course, what's the Chiddush here? The Chiddush is that the Rambam holds that Elam Abba is a Schar Ruchni and not a Schar Gashmi. The Rambam's opinion is Elam Haba is a spiritual, the eternal life is a spiritual thing, not a material thing. Although, if you'll take a look at section 14, reading Tesvav, which I'm never going to get to, you'll see that the Rebbe actually finally argues that the Rambam agrees with the Ramban. I'm throwing it out there because I'm not going to have the opportunity to discuss it at length, which I was hoping to do. But on the basic level, the way the Rambam is understood in convention, the Rambam holds that Elam Haba is Ruchnias. So therefore comes the question, why do we have all over the Torah what we call in our culture Yehudim Gashmim, promise for physical compensation, physical reward? If this Chad is Ruchnias, why do we keep on referencing Gashmiistic reward? Any person who's learned Chumash and Navi sees that it's packed with allusions to physical schar. I don't have time to get into this either, but this is one of the reasons that Stukim broke away from the Purushim, is because they began to sense that the Purushim don't hold of schar gashmi at all, when the entire Tanakh speaks about schar gashmi. There's almost nothing in Tanakh about schar ruchni. Okay, Ma'al Zechakosta B'chal HaTeira Kula, why is it written all over the Teira, Im Tishmu, if you will listen, Yigil Lecham Kach, you'll have this. All the other things describing a material bounty or plenty in this world, Kigain, for example, and of course, I skipped many lines in the Rambam that describe the wealth and the peace and the health and the longevity and so on. So the Rambam now answers his own question. Kol Oysan Hadvarim Emes. Everything that the Torah says about material reward is true. Hayu, both in terms of what has been, as well as what will be. There is a notion of Hashem giving us gashmiistic blessing and health and peace and all the other wonderful things. And of course, it's very difficult to have gashmi without ruchnius and ruchnius without gashmi, even on a very basic level, in this life. Ubizman sha'anu eisim kol mitzvah teira. When we keep teira and mitzvahs, we're going to have all of these blessings. Yagiu eleinu, it will reach us. Tevas ha'elam hazeh, the good of this world, physical goodness, kulam, all of them. So the Rambam, that's all true. It's all true. When the Torah says again and again and again, that's true. There's going to be all kinds of material bounty and blessing reaching the Jewish people for serving the Eibishter. However, says the Rambam, and here's the key. Elakach hu hechra kol advarim. Here's what you need to know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan lanu Torah. Hashem gave us this Torah. Eitz Chayim, here it's a tree of life. V'chala Eisa kala kasaba, one who does everything written in it. V'yedei deya gemura nechayin, and knows it all the way you're supposed to know it, completely and properly. Zeichaba, he certainly merits the ultimate reward, and the ultimate reward is lechaye ha'elam haba, to the life of the world to come. Which is, of course, again, in the Rambam's opinion, a spiritual thing. Based on the greatness of one's deeds and the extent of one's wisdom, in other words, Rambam has no problem saying that there's going to be bigger pieces of Elam Haba and smaller pieces of Elam Haba, and Elam Haba is a Shechar Ruchni. However, I'm reading based on the Torah, give us a promise. If in this world that we live in now, we will learn Torah and do mitzvahs, v'simcha v'teivas nefesh, joyously and with a good spirit. V'ne'ege b'chachmas atomid, and we're going to be diligent in learning the Eibishter's Torah constantly. We get something else. And what is that something else? She'yosu mimenu, God Almighty takes away from us, kol ha'dvarim ha'minoyim, and all those things that interfere mila'aseis of being able to do it. It's the old story, derech she'adam heiluch v'yim elichanesi. If you want to be good, God helps you be better. If you want to be bad, God helps you be worse. So the Rambam's answer to the question is this. No doubt about it, that the schar, it's important in Torah, according to the Rambam, is a schar ruchni in Elam Haba, in Gan Eden. However, to facilitate schar, you have to have mitzvahs in Torah. The more religious we are, the greater material comfort God Almighty provides, so that we should be even better at Torah and mitzvahs, and earn more schar. So all the allusions in Tanakh to schar Gashmi are not the actual schad, they're simply allowing us to be better yidden and earn more schad, and the schad is actually ruchni. The Ashpielon of Kolatevas, he will give us all goodness. Hamachazikas has the strength in our hands. Lasses hateder, to do the teder gain, for example, there'll be no war, and so on and so forth. Today, what do we gain by Hashem giving us all the material blessings in the world? Because we're such good Jews, we shouldn't have to waste our time dealing with the things that the body needs. Will be free or freer. Lil made the chokhma, to learn the wisdom of the Torah. To do the mitzvah. Let's pause right here. I'm sure you are aware of a great theological debate. And the great theological debate exists on some level between Mekubalim and Chassidim, between the Baal Shem Tov and the world that came before. And it exists also amongst Anshei Musar, and the Rambam has a position which is very much the Chassidish position as opposed to the Kabbalistic position. One position says, Tukfa de Gufa Cholshu de Nishmasa, Tukfa de Nishmasa Cholshu de Gufa. That means, the more involved you are in Ruchnias, the weaker your body will be, or needs to be. The more you're involved in Gashmias, the weaker your Nishama needs to be. In other words, the position is that having little Gashmias, suffering with Gashmias, makes your life better, Beruchnias. Which is why there is the whole sheet of Sigufim, and punishing the body, which is the sheet of the Mukubalim, and so on. The Rambam holds, and of course Baal Shem Tov clearly is on the Rambam's side, that Hayeis Haguf Bari Yisholim Medakei Avodas Hashem, being healthy is a part of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam writes explicitly in the Perek Dal of Hilchos Deis, in the beginning, how could you serve Hashem if you're sick? So the Rambam agrees with the Baal Shem Tov, Ozev Tazev Ime, you shouldn't say, I'm going to punish my body because he's Seinacha, but rather Ozev Tazev Ime. And like the famous quote from Holy Baal Shem Tov, which he told to his Talmud the Mezitcha Magad on his deathbed, a klein lecheli in guf is a grace lecheli in the neshama. A small hole in the body is a great hole in the soul. This was said by the Holy Magid of Mezitch to his son, Rav Avram the Malach, Rav Avram the angel. So we are in the position that material comforts and health and success facilitate Yiddishkeit; they don't hinder it. So the Rambam therefore says it. This is what the Torah means. All over the Torah, there are descriptions of Hashem giving us material bounty. Says the Rambam, that is not schar. It's opportunity to earn more schar, consistent with the Rambam's idea that the healthier and the richer and the safer and the more secure one is, the better able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So v'derach she'adam ha'ilech boyim elichin, I say if you try very hard to be a good yid, the Eivishter will make it easier for you by giving you even more. Let's read the last words of reading Beis, kedei she'niske lechai ha'elam, but we should merit the life of the world to come. So the schar is elam haba, which is ruchni. Now, of course, you have to remember, schar is only one level. Above schar, there is the lishma, eved miyava, shalera, manasa, kabel pras. But even the schar is only an ilm haba. And all of the gashmis, the gebrachas Hashem gives us now, or after Mashiach comes, or while Mashiach is coming, is that we should be able to be better Jews and earn ilm haba. Nimsa. I'm reading Gimel now. It turns out, pirush, koleison, abroches, vakoles, alderazu. The way you have to understand the material blessing, and the material opposite of blessings described in the Chumash and in Tanakh has to be understood this way. Claim it, this is how you understand it. If you serve Hashem with joy, and you guarded His path, God Almighty gives you a flow of blessing, and distances the opposite of blessing from you, at in order to create a framework, to be free, to be creative in Torah, and to be totally dedicated to the Torah. And he repeats again, so we should merit Elam Haba. What is Elam Haba? A schar ruchni. When? It's going to be good for you, a land which is all good, for days which are all long. And Rambam explains the meaning of these phrases. At the beginning, says the Rambam, in conclusion, you end up earning both worlds. Good life in the physical world, but you earned it through the Torah mitzvot you've already done in this life. And then he says, Hameviim, which bring a person to the real schar, which is lechaye ha'elam haba, the life of the world to come. She'im layikne peichoch mo ma'isim teim. If you don't acquire in this life wisdom and good deeds, ein le b'mayiske, no getting elam haba. So, the Rambam says the schar is elam haba, the material blessings we have now, and we're going to have even more of it after Mashiach comes, is kedei she'yisku lechaye ha'elam haba. We should have Elam Haba. Now we're going to read Dalit. Rambam says, Mipneiza, this is the reason why Nisava call Yisrael, Nivayim, Echachmeim, Liyamesa Mashiach. This is why the Jewish people, their prophets and their wise men wanted Mashiach. Now, I don't want to dispel any people's beliefs. The Rebbe said, Medaf Nechenim, Upkilim. But the Rambam is explaining what Mashiach is about. Why do we want Mashiach now? Some people want Mashiach now so they should have money. Some people want Mashiach now, they should be able to punish their enemies. And the Rambam brings all of these examples in the Perichelik in the beginning. Perisha Mishnah. The Rambam says the reason you want Mashiach is in times of Mashiach, you'll be able to do Yiddishkeit very well. What is going to allow you to do Yiddishkeit very well? It's going to be easy. It's going to take away all distraction. For this reason, Nisavu Kol Yisrael, all the Jewish people, the Nevi'im, the Chameim, the prophets and wise people, the Yimei Mashiach, the times of Mashiach, Kadesh Yenuchim Imamchus. Because the Mashiach comes, we're rid of the influence of other governments. And of course, this includes two things. Number one, we have political autonomy, which we didn't even have in Zman by Yesheni. And the political autonomy allows us to govern ourselves according to the Torah and the Mitzvahs. And number two, we have social autonomy. In other words, if you live in a world where Goyim are nice to you and so on and so forth, but the Goyim influence you culturally with Avodah Zarah and Gilead Arayis and Shvi'ah Hasdamim, that's not Shivud Malchus. Shivud Malchus is two things. Shivud Malchus is first of all political independence, and second of all, social independence, where the Jewish value, Jewish philosophy of life, dominates Eretz Yisrael and influences the whole world without an outside influence. So that's the meaning of these words. Second line from the top of page 12, reading Galat, section 13, Yenuchu Mimalchias. We're going to be able to rest from political influences and social influences, She'ena Manichas Lahem, which make it difficult for us, Lasek Beteiru Ubimitzvis Kehig. To be occupied in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs as we're supposed to, the yimtzu lahen. After Mashiach comes, we will find margoya, calm, peace, serenity, and as a result, the yirbu b'chokhma will be incredibly wise. We're going to learn Torah, be mechadesh Torah, and so on and so forth. And now that Rambam says for the third time, kedei sheyisku lechayeh elam haba, we should merit elam haba. And I put all these readings in because I want it to be absolutely clear. Rambam holds that the physical yehudim and Tanakh are not schar. Elam haba is schar, which is ruchnius. The physical yehudim facilitate the earning of that schar. When you live in a better world, when you do mitzvahs more precisely, you have more elam haba. Your mesa mashiach is about that opportunity. And as I told you earlier, this is the explanation for tchias hamesim as well. Tchias hamesim is a chance for those who've lived to live again. In the Rambam's opinion, not in the Ramban's opinion. In the Rambam's opinion, the need for Tchiyas HaMeisim as part of the Messianic era is that Jews who lived should again live so that they could do mitzvahs betachas HaShleimus and earn Elam Abba also betachas HaShleimus. The fish of Eis and the Yom at that time, Tarba Deh V'Chochm V'Emes, there could be increase in understanding and wisdom and truth, as the Pasuk says, Ki Mala Oruz Deh Hashem, the world is going to be filled with the knowledge of God through the efforts and the productivity of the Jewish people, and this is why we want Mashiach. Now these four readings that I just did are from Hilchas Chut. And the last one is from Hilchas Malachim Pedik Yudbeis HaLachadal. The wise men of the prophets did not desire Mashiach to have this, that, and the other. Elo, Kedei, Sheyir, Yupnuyim. They should be freed up. B'teiru v'chachmas, b'teiru v'chachmas, wisdom. And he says now, again, Kedei, Sheyisku, L'chai, Ha'el, Mabon. So we should merit the times of Tchias, of Elam Haba in Ruchnias. In other words, as I just described in the four readings that preceded this. So what we just did in section 13 is a very simple thing. What is Mashiach for? Why is Mashiach important? Answer, to do Yiddishkeit better, to earn Elam Haba more. And that's why a part of this is Tchias Hamesis. That's not my perspective, young lady. That is Rambam. I guess what you mean to say by perspective is because there's other perspectives. Hasidus, I agree with that. But this is Rambam. Okay, anybody else want to say anything? Otherwise, I'm going to begin. I don't have time to do it all, but I just want to at least very concisely introduce the final piece here, number 14. Okay, good, okay. Okay, knowledge is wonderful. If people would only do what the Rebbe said and learn the Mashiach Ge'ula, it would clear up so much. It's very interesting, it's very rich. And the part of it that you like the most is that you relate to it. It makes sense. You say, that kind of Mashiach I can relate to, I like it. And that's why the Rebbe wanted us to learn it, so that we should be able to relate to it. Because when we relate to it, we know what we want and why we want it, and even how we're going to go about getting it. Okay, now, this is the last section, 14. And the title of the section is the time of Mashiach, after Mashiach comes. This is technically the last halacha in all of Rambam, Hilchas Malachim U'machamis U'melech HaMashiach Perik Yibayz Halacha Hey. This is describing what happens after Mashiach comes in a different light than in the halacha before. In the halacha before, we explained why Mashiach. In this halacha, we're explaining what Mashiach. Let me repeat that one more time. In the halacha before, we explained why the time of Mashiach, the era of Mashiach. In this halacha, we're explaining what the era of Mashiach. What is the Mitzvah of Mashiach about? And when you learn the Rebbe Sichas, you find the following. Some of what's written in section 14 overlaps what's written in section 13. In other words, some of the things we're about to read are also part of the model that says Kedei Sheyisku L'Chaye L'Mabo. But some of what we read in section 14 is describing things that are beyond Schat. There's a level where a person reaches a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu where he's not interested in Schat at all, not even Schat Ruchnin L'Mabo, but it is simply Schat Mitzvah Mitzvah. So section 14 combines two aspects. Number one, the environment, the framework where section 13 takes place, the idea that Mashiach is a good time, a good blessing, b'gashmis v'ruchnis, so we can serve Hashem better, learn Torah better, kadei sheyisku l'chayeh el mabo. Some of that goodness is described in reading section 14, but some of it's describing something altogether different, what perhaps could be called in Hilchot Shuvah Perek Yud Eved L'shmo, not for the sake of reward, not even el mabo, but for its own sake. So we're going to read just a little bit. Obe'ei se'azman at that time. That means in the times of Mashiach. Lo yisham, there will not be there, le'rova, le'mechamova, le'kinev, le'tachas. There will be no hunger, no war, no jealousy, no competitiveness. Because there's going to be so much goodness, there will be no need for it. V'lo yihye esek, kol ha'olam, there will be nothing to preoccupy the world, elo l'das esavaya bovad, other than knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there's some very serious nuance in this statement. First of all, it says Esek et Kol Ha'olam. Let me say that again. First of all, it says Kol Ha'olam. Kol Ha'olam means all of humanity, including Goyim. And if you squeeze the Rebbe Sichas enough, it could include even animals. But let's not get that deep. Kol Ha'olam means Goyim. The Goyim will be busy with knowing Hashem. Moreover, their knowing Hashem is going to be their only Esek. Esek means pre-occupying occupation. People can do many things. But many of the things they do b'diyeved, haphazard. It's not that important to them. And some things are their business, their livelihood, their reality is called Esek. The Esek of Goyim after Mashiach comes is Ela Ladasa Savayat, only to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu only. It's not even Sheva Mitzvot Peninach. It's Ladasa Savayat Bulvat. That's the Esek. The whole world is elevated to a level where the thing that occupies us is not Yiddishkeit, but the level of Yiddishkeit, which the Rambam calls Yediyas Hashem. And this, of course, is consistent with an idea we learned among the earlier weeks when we discussed the Karkasicha, Chalukhav Gimel Pashas Bola, where the Rebbe talked about the annihilation of Goyim after Mashiach comes, and argued that there's no question that they're going to be Goyim after Mashiach comes. The question that they're going to be servants of the Jewish people, the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yatzmin. And even if you hold that the Goyim are going to be servants of Hashem Himself, not servants of the Jewish people, the nature of this service is not mowing our lawn and making our flower beds. The nature of this service is knowing Hashem. And by them knowing Hashem on the level that they know, we're able to know Hashem on an even higher level, which is what says in reading Gimel. Well, lefichach, therefore, when you live in a world where the gossip, the talk in the street and in the market is about Hashem, what kind of effect is that going to have on the Jewish people? Yiyu Yisrael, the Jewish people specifically, will be chacham and gedolim, very wise. V'yedim dvaram astum, and all know all things mysterious and secret. Moreover, v'yasigul, they will reach das and understanding, boyedim of their Creator, kefi koyach adam, according to the maximum capacity of man. So when you want to get close to Hashem, you